As I said earlier today, our scripture comes from 2 Samuel chapter 11, starting in verse 26. This is not an easy scripture, and it's not an easy thing to understand, but it's something that we need to talk about. Before I read the scripture, I want to mention this to you. This happens probably 9, 10, 11, maybe even a year later, after David's sin with Bathsheba, when Nathan comes to him, because the child that she has is already born. So it's a number of months later when Nathan comes. When Uriah's wife, and that's Bathsheba, heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. After the time of mourning was over, David had brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There are two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. He shared his food. It shared his food and drank from his cup and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, 'As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over, because he did such a thing and had no pity.' Then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man.' This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and you took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says: Out of your own household, I'm going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and I will give them to one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel." Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But because by doing this you have shown utter contempt for the Lord, the son born to you will die." I want to remind you, as you just heard us sing, God said you're going to make it. When we come to God with a repentant heart, we do make it. When we come to God and say, "God, I have sinned against you," as David did here in this passage, you will make it. God will forgive you, and I'll talk about this a little bit later. God does not always take away the consequences of sin. This is a tough passage. It's a beautiful passage, though. It's a passage about Nathan the prophet coming to David and explaining to David, God knows what you have done. and you need to repent because you have sinned. All people sin. All people sin. And they should repent and return to God. All people sin. I've envisioned this whole week as I've thought about preaching this sermon that it's not probably going to be well liked or well received. I know it would not be in the midst of this world. It would not be in the midst of our society and culture at this point in time for me to walk out in the midst of a bunch of people and say, y'all are a bunch of sinners. Because everybody in the midst of our world proclaims now, it seems, what's true for me and what works for me is what I'm going to do. And it doesn't matter whether it offends someone else. Unless it offends them, and then what you're doing matters. And I want to say, if you still get offended, that means that sin still exists. And what you're calling truth may not actually be truth. So I just wanted to start this sermon by saying all people sin. Not a very popular statement in the midst of our society right now. Matter of fact, there's portions of our society that don't want to hear anybody say that. They want to acknowledge and they want to admit that other people sin. But not me. Because the way I'm living is what's truth for me. And that's not true. This is a hard story because David, in one act, breaks at least half of the Ten Commandments. At least half. He has stolen. He's committed murder. Yes, he didn't do it, but it was done at his direction. He put Uriah in the place where Uriah would be killed. He told them, put Uriah right in the front lines as you attack, and then move back and let Uriah be killed. David commissioned the murder of Uriah. David has committed adultery with another man's wife. She has become pregnant, and David tried to hide it. He has coveted something else that belonged to someone else. He's lied. At least half of the Ten Commandments, and that's not dealing with the ones that deal with following God. God does send others to show us our need to repent of sin and to return to God. God does send others to show us of our need to repent of sin and to return to God. Now, we in the church quite often don't want to go talk to somebody else about sin. Quite often what church people will do, I'm not talking about people outside the church, I'm talking about people who are members of churches, will talk behind that person's back and say, did you hear what they're doing? Did you hear about the life that they're living? Did you hear about how they're living in the midst of sin? But very few times will we go and talk to that person about that. I've come to the place in my life that it's not my job to tell somebody else's story. I shouldn't be telling someone else's story, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, especially without their permission. And what many folks will do is we'll talk other people's stories without ever asking permission. And sometimes we talk their stories saying, well, I'm just sharing a word that so that people can pray about it. And quite often it's not that, it's gossip. And it's a message and a word that brings people down, which is a sin in itself. God does send other people to talk to us. I think about the number of times in my life that people have come to me and told me, even as a pastor, Pastor, you have sinned. And you need to ask for forgiveness and you need to repent. It has happened for me. Maybe they didn't use the words that way, but that's what they were talking about. God does send other people. Now, I wish that everyone could be as gracious as Nathan was. I want to admit to you, I can't always come up with a story like Nathan did. Because what does he do? He knows that God tells him, you've got to go talk to David about this sin. And he goes to David and he tells him a very simple story about a rich man and a poor man. And how the rich man stole from the poor man and showed hospitality to a friend who came. David says, this man must die. This man must fourfold pay back what happened. You see, Nathan tells him a very gracious story, a very diplomatic way to share with David, and he lets David make a commitment to the fact that this person is a sinner. And this person has done wrong and must get it right. And Nathan looks at him and says, in Hebrew it's just two words, you are the man. I wonder how David felt at that moment. Because David has already given judgment over the person that has done wrong. Nathan goes on to explain to him what's going to happen to him and his family. And how God had been so gracious to him. And God says, I would have even given you more. But you went against my word. And you didn't trust me. Gosh, I just wonder how David felt. I know how many people react. There's been opportunities that I have not treasured that I've had to sit down and speak with someone about sin. And quite often, people's first reaction is to get defensive when confronted. Not me, I didn't do it. But you don't understand. Here's why I did it. Here's my excuse. Did you hear that word? Excuse. Like that justifies sinning. It doesn't. There is no justification for sin. None. But most people, when I have talked with them, the very first thing that happens is they get very defensive when they're confronted about something they have done wrong. This story shows that we should follow David's example and state simply, I've sinned against the Lord. Because all sin is against God. All sin is against God. You may sin against someone else, but that's a sin against the creation of God. That's a sin against what God has called beautiful and what God has called good and what God loves. It's a sin. There's no other way to call it. Have I always been able to do what David did? I really wish I could stand here and tell you that. Quite often when someone talks to me about sin, I get defensive. I build up a barrier and a wall and I make excuses. And I say, well, I did that because of this, and I did it this way because of this. And if it offended you, that's your problem, not mine. I have said that. No, it's not. It's my problem. It is my problem when I have sinned. And it is between me and God. And I've got to go to God and talk about that. A couple of weeks ago, I said something in a sermon about sometimes people have told me you can't talk to God that way, you can't pray that way, you can't say that to God. Because I'll be quite honest with you, when I'm mad at God, I tell God so. Now, some of you will tell me, you can't do that. The Lord will strike you dead. The only thing I'm going to tell you is the Lord has gotten close. But I'm still alive. God wants me to talk honestly. And that's, for me, that's the example of the Psalms. That truly is the example of the Psalms. Because in the book of Psalms, you can find every human emotion. Every one of them. Anger, hurt, pain, joy, excitement, praise. A total sense of lostness. Every one of those is in the Psalms. And they're part of our scriptures. That tells me that I can pray those. I can pray those Psalms when I don't feel quite right. Because, as I said a couple of weeks ago, about a minute later, the people that tell me, Pastor, you can't say those things. Pastor, you can't talk to God that way. They're going to tell me God knows everything. Well, if God knows everything, why don't I just agree with God? God says, you're mad at this point in time. I mean, I'll be quite honest with you. There have been times ministering to families that I have gone home and sat down and cried and been mad at God for why did this happen? Things like this should never happen, God. And it did. The example that I see in the Psalms, and especially as David writes about this, he says what he knows the truth is in Psalm 51. And then later in that psalm, he says, God, create in me a new heart. Create in me a new heart. Why does David say that? Because he knows that needs to be done. He doesn't have a heart that's doing the right thing. He knows that he has sinned, and he knows that he has to get his relationship right with God. And he says, God, I need a new heart. And God, I come and I agree with you that I have sinned. And that I have done wrong. I talked about peeling back the layers of the heart. Just like peeling back the layers in an onion. And peeling back those layers in our heart and looking at what truly is there and being honest about it. Do I have wrong thoughts at times? Most definitely. Am I judgmental at times? Most definitely. Are those sins? Yep. They are. Can't call them anything else. Or what are you going to call them? I know what some people will tell me. What do you think about my hairdo? And you don't like the person's hairdo? So what are you going to do? You're going to tell a little white lie. Did you notice the word lie is still in there? And Scripture says don't lie. It doesn't say what color the lie is. It says don't lie. A lie is a lie. Sometimes people will ask me a question, and I'll just look at them and say, do you want me to answer truthfully? Quite often people will say, nope. And then I'll say, why'd you ask me then? Because I'm not going to lie. Now, that's not always my response. So if you come up to me afterwards and ask me how I like your shirt or your dress today or whatever, I'll try to find the most diplomatic answer I can. Not that I'm looking around saying, oh, there's one there, and there, there's an there, and I'm trying not to look at anybody at this moment. Folks, sin is serious. Scripture says that sin separates us from God. There's no except fors in that. It separates us from God. Do you want a strong and a wonderful and a powerful relationship with God? Then when you have sinned, you need to repent. You need to confess it. And you need to say, God, not just I'm sorry, but I'm going to take steps to change. That's what repent means. The Greek word for repent is metanoia. And metanoia means that I'm walking this direction. This is the lifestyle I'm living, and I'm doing the wrong things, and I'm not going the right way. And metanoia means that I physically turn and make a decision to walk away from the wrong things and walk in the ways of God. That's what metanoia means. That's what it means to repent. Repent doesn't mean, oh, I feel bad about this. That's not what it means. It means to make a choice to do something different and to follow that path as a lifestyle. Now, I want to go back to where I started and where this passage ends. Because I want you to understand what God is willing to do. If we are willing to confess our sins and repent and try to live in God's ways, when we do that, the Lord will forgive us. The Lord will forgive us. However, the consequences of sin may not be taken away. The Lord's going to forgive us. What did Nathan tell David when David says, I have sinned against the Lord? Nathan says, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. However, the son born to you will. And he's also told David that there will be complications in his family for years to come. One of his daughters is raped by one of his sons. The other son kills that son. That son eventually is chased down and also killed by other folks that are loyal to David. Eventually, the kingdom is divided and things are destroyed. The consequences of David's sin did not go away. It created a ripple effect throughout the whole family. David was forgiven, though. David was forgiven. Folks, God wants to forgive you if you have sinned. And when you sin, I really wish that when we come to Jesus Christ and trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and trust the work that He did for us on the cross as an atoning sacrifice for us so that we could have a relationship with God again, I really wish that we never had to deal with sin again. Amen? I really wish that from there on out all my thoughts would be correct. I guess I would say, don't call my phone and tell me that my car warranty is about to expire. Or I might not have something nice to say. That's my reaction sometimes. Be honest with yourself. Is that not your reaction? When someone cuts you off on the interstate, with almost nothing to spare, and you have to take some defensive moves and evasive moves, is there not a thought that happens in your head? Does it sometimes make it out your mouth? Does it sometimes find its way into an action? You ready? That's sin. I wish we didn't have to deal with that stuff anymore. I really do. God, take me to heaven so I don't have to deal with sin anymore. Oh, but wait. Leave me here so I can help people live in the midst of a sinful world. And I can help people come to Jesus Christ where they can find out that God forgives them when they repent. Now remember, repentance is not just feeling sorry. It's taking an action to do something different. That's incredible to me. Folks, I think through my life and I think through the things that I have done that have, I'm just going to be honest with you, they've been horrible. There was a time in my life that I thought living the sinful way and getting what I wanted in every moment at every opportunity was okay. That's my history. If my wife will be honest with you, which I know she will, she may not say any words if you ask the question. She didn't marry a pastor. And sometimes when I get up in the morning, depending upon what happens that day, I'm not always a pastor. Sin is real. And we've got to treat it as real. And we've got to realize it disrupts our relationship with God. And if someone comes to talk to us about it, and sometime we'll do that as a study, or we will do it as another sermon. If you have sinned, you're commanded by Jesus Christ to go ask for forgiveness. If someone has sinned against you, you are commanded by Jesus Christ to go talk to them about it. You don't have a choice if you want to follow what Jesus says. And if we all follow what Jesus says, at some point in our lives, people are going to come to us and they're going to talk to us about our sin. Are you going to build defensive walls right away and find excuses? Or are you willing to say, I have sinned against the Lord? And I must confess it, and I must repent, and I must do what I can to make it right. Because my relationship with God is important to me. That's why I do those things. Unrepented sin will continue to distance us from God. So I want to ask you to think about this question. Are you open to receive someone the Lord sends to speak to you about your sin? Are you open to receive someone the Lord sends to speak to you about your sin? Without immediately making excuses, without immediately building defensive walls, are you willing to at least listen and acknowledge that you've sinned against the Lord? I told you last week this was not an easy word from the Scriptures. And it's not a word that is well-liked as a preached word. But it is the Word of God. And it is the truth about sin in the midst of our world and our need to do something about it. Instead of gossip, instead of talking behind people's backs, you're supposed to go to them and talk to them about it. And when someone comes to talk to you, we need to listen. It's not easy. I admit to you, I'm the first one to start to put up some defenses and to make some excuses. And I have learned, don't ever make an excuse for sin. So if someone comes to talk to you, do you care enough about your relationship with God to listen and to receive them well? Let us pray. Lord, sometimes there are scriptures that we would prefer not to read, that we prefer not to look at, that we would prefer to say that's behind us in our lives and we don't have to look at that anymore. And Lord, I really think that may have been how David felt at the moment until Nathan came to share with him. David listened, and David realized that his sin was only against the Lord. His sin had a ripple effect in his family. But Lord, the exciting thing is, he confessed, he repented, and you forgave him. And Nathan told him, you will not die. You will live. And David did. So Lord, we pray that we could be the same type of people as David was, to say, I have sinned against the Lord, when we realize that we have sinned, so that our relationship with you could be one of forgiveness, of rebuilding, of restoring, of recreating, of renewing, of strength, of energy, of encouragement, so that we can go out in the midst of this world that is so confused about sin and help them to find that same relationship with you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you and thank you. And we pray this morning as David did. Create in us a new heart, a pure heart, a clean heart that only wants to live your will and have a deep and powerful relationship with you and demonstrate it to this world so that many more people can come to find that same forgiveness, that same compassion, that same love, and find eternal life. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.